Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be discussing a book, Donut Economics, by Kate Raworth. Charles, this was absolutely fascinating. I'm really pleased you chose it. Both you and I tend to read economics books for some strange reason, and some of them can be really quite heavy, but this is brilliantly written. I really enjoyed it. Could we start with what on earth the donut is?
By all means, yes. This is one of those books that I think everybody should read, irrespective of whether or not you have an interest in economics, on the basis that the economics that she is writing about is essential to what nearly every marketer is concerned about, on the basis that it looks at all of the macro forces around us, not just economics. It does consider the social, economic and political elements. The donut is an interesting one. Raworth's contribution to economic theory is that she asked the question when doing economics, what are the actual limits to growth and to the economy? And she was somewhat dumbfounded when there was no real answer. So she said, but what about the issue of the planet? You know, the planet can only cope with so much. You know, there is no exponential growth to forever. And economics at the time didn't necessarily make a great deal of concern about this issue. So the donut, for illustrative purposes here, we need to think about an American donut, not an English one. There's no jam in the middle. So essentially speaking, this is a donut with a hole in the middle. So the inner circle is essentially speaking the minimum on which humans can survive. It is the minimum level of reasonable economic activity and provision. The outer ring is the maximum that the planet can provide, given the size of the population and the needs of people around. The aspect, therefore, is that we have to live within the donut, or we have to get to a point at which everybody is nearly all satisfied within this process. That led to various elements, which is the fact that unbridled growth perhaps does have a limit. We talked a couple of episodes ago about the limits to growth, which was as far back as the late 60s, the report. And it also talks about the fact that there are multiple contributions to the economy, in inverted commas. It's not just the economy, stupid, as one famous president said. It is about four competing areas that provide economic input, although in many instances one wouldn't have originally seen them that way. There is the household, the economy as in the macro economy, and there is the government playing a role, and there is also the connection or the commons, which is where people collaborate to produce economic well-being. So the element that Kate Raworth is talking about is essentially very much into the discussion that we now call regenerative or circular economics.
It's quite a change from the sort of traditional idea of economics as the rational man, and of course it was a man in the early stages of economics. The rational man dealt with things in a rational way. Yes. Didn't worry so much. Economics really struggled with the idea of collaboration and being a good Samaritan, you know, doing things for the benefit rather than doing for your own economic benefit. And I think Raworth has some very interesting views on that.
I think she does, and certainly there are a very large number of podcasts which you can listen to, which Kate went around and did all sorts of interviews from Mary Portas right the way through to Extinction Rebellion, and you can see the degree to which the content that she has put forward in this book has been picked up by a very large number of organisations and indeed towns and cities in an attempt to look at the way in which economic well-being can be brought about without constantly looking for more exploitative ways of using the economy. Growth not necessarily being the sole aim. Indeed, there's a whole chapter at the end of the book which is being agnostic about growth.
Yes, she also points out, which is something I'd never appreciated before, that actually if you go back to the basics of economics, Aristotle actually distinguished economics from the idea of acquiring wealth. The original foundation of economics wasn't an assumption that economics would always be used to grow. And she has a very interesting chapter, which I've now read twice, on the overwhelming pushing of GDPR, gross domestic product, as being the only way of measuring wealth and why this is such a bad way of viewing the world.
Yes, that's a lot of this is historic context. The Kuznets argument at the end of the Second World War basically gross national income was what one needed to measure. When asked by the American government how the heck you could actually understand whether or not the economy was growing in a competitive situation with the Soviet economy, statistics were pulled together, which eventually became known as GDP, gross domestic product, which is mentioned now almost as a godlike number, rather than the more detailed sets of indices that there used to be in the past, which was measuring very precise things such as steel output, house building, etc., and were used for the government of those particular sectors rather than the general competitive nature that we now have on national economies. Now, our economy has got to grow. Is the norm by which the political parties look, and any acceptance of non-growth is looked on as being defeatist. This causes obviously significant problems when you've got 7 billion people on the planet and the result of any growth in any of those areas is a negative impact on the planet.
Quite. So, As I said, I absolutely love the book, and it bears reading and rereading. Were there particular things that you wanted to pick out?
I think that there are several things that I think one should consider. As we increasingly look to things for a sustainable future, we look to the Sustainable Development Goals from the UN, and the underpinning aspect of her donut is the main aspects that those are trying to achieve. So I think the donut in itself should be considered very clearly for the detail that it brings in. It talks about things like freshwater availability, land conservation, biodiversity, pollution, ozone, climate change, water acidification, and basically chemical pollution. And all of these, you know, do have an impact on us as individuals. And we need to therefore consider how we consume our products and services that do not continue to cause problems in those areas. So I would definitely suggest that people should look very much at the donut itself as a diagram and the underpinning aspects that go with it, because I think certainly when you're doing your PESTA analysis these days, that would probably be one to use to expand it. I think also the element of looking at human nature, which is chapter 3 of the book, to move from being rational economic man to social adaption, the point that I think you were making earlier, we need to move from a taking process to being a regenerative process. And I think that is one of the most important elements that she talks about. I mean, it was interesting. I did actually go to the original launch of the book at the RSA in 2017, and the element of regeneration was mentioned there, but has become much more a key part of the book. And indeed, regenerative styles of organisations now, I think, are becoming much more accepted. So I would definitely points to the circular economy and the need to look at regeneration and changing people's attitudes.
Great stuff. I think it's a book that we both thoroughly recommend, and we'll send the link in the podcast. Thanks, Charles. Thanks both for recommending the book, and great to debate it with you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much indeed, Kieran.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content
from Cambridge Marketing College.